10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to Toons Game Time, right here on the Trending Topics Network. This is Season 1, Episode 2 of Toons Game Time. My name is Brian, and on this week's show, we got a lot of news, all the fun news, all that other fun stuff. We're going to take a look at games coming out in the year 2015, what it means for the Wii U, which is the precursor to the Wii, sorry. My go-to joke concerning the Wii. However, before we get this going, because we do have a guest on the line already with me, I wanted to go over some of the contact information, how you can get a hold of the show and take part in the show. Toonshow.com, that's what you need. Toonshow. This is obviously a part of Toons. So go to Toonshow.com. You can find me at Toons Brian on Twitter. You can find us at toonshow@gmail.com. If you wanted to email us, either in text form or MP3 form, we'll accept that. And also, on Skype, as our guest is joining us today, by befriending us on Skype, which is really the easiest way to get a hold of us, at the Skype ID of Toonshow. Also, this week, just a little semi-programming note. I'm working on getting voicemail set up so you can actually get a hold of us that way, too. Where I don't even have to answer the Skype line for you to record a little message, ask us questions, make comments, tell me I'm an idiot. It's all good. You can do those things, or you will be able to do those things. But before we get too far into the show, and before I start rambling, I would like to introduce my guest. You may know him from the Twitterverse. If you follow me, you've seen me retweet his stuff all the time. You can find him at RyanNoble66. He is Ryan Noble. And he can be found at ConstructsNunchucks.com, PensInitiative.com, and a very Barry Colts blog.com. Ryan, my Canadian friend, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on the show and to be able to talk. I'm still trying to hold down the laughter from the Wii U joke that you made there.
Yeah, the Wii
Sorry. The Wii Sorry, yeah. I already stole that. I used it on somebody at Walmart, I believe, actually. But I passed it off as being my own, so sorry.
The shame with the Wii, and before we get too far into it, I obviously don't want to end up completely and totally redundant, is the fact that they started out so strong with the Wii. And then it's like they didn't really push the envelope. I mean, the Wii U's nice from what I've seen, but you're actually one of the few people that I know that actually does own one, and that's kind of why I wanted to have you specifically on this week, besides the fact that we talk all the time and have a good time when we talk.
That's another reason.
But certainly, I mean, this is a show, and just so everybody knows, this is actually Ryan's first podcast, so far as I know. I don't think you've done podcasts.
This is my debut. I think there was something that we were going to do on Constructs, like, probably 3 years ago, but that never ended up happening, so.
So this is it. I was telling you before the show, nothing to worry about. It's just a conversation, and that's what everybody should realize. The podcasts are just simply conversations between friends. We're not gaming insiders, video gaming insiders. We just enjoy games. Playing games. And that's the thing. I mean, you come together for a common love when you do a podcast, whether it's the love of something like video games, or whether it's music, or sports, or whatever. Just enjoy what you do, or else don't do it. And I think sometimes people lose sight of that. So that's just our friendly little Toons tip for you. But are you ready to get this thing on?
I'm excited and ready.
Sweet. So what we're going to do, we're going to get into the news. As you might know, Ryan, one of the big things right now in video games is actually posting YouTube videos and Twitch TV and all that other fun stuff, which I personally don't get. I don't understand it necessarily, but a lot of people like to do it, and apparently there's money to be made doing it. And as such, Microsoft has laid out Let's Play rules regarding monetization of the videos that are put up on YouTube and whatever, Ustream. There are so many different services. However, in a story that was actually on joystick.com this week, Microsoft has laid out these Let's Play rules regarding monetization and what exactly game players can do to make money. Because by rights, I mean, any third party or Xbox or Sony or anybody really that has a video game system could technically block anything from going online because of copyright restrictions, and Google, with all of their reach, could actually find a way to make that happen as well. This is a pretty big compromise because they're saying basically that it's okay to do it. Are you all for, like, allowing people to make money off of the basically intellectual properties of whether it's a third-party developer or utilizing a system like Xbox, PlayStation, Wii U, whatever?
Well, selfishly, I kind of would like to see it happen only because I think 90% of the stuff that we at Constructs Nunchucks put on the internet has third-party content in it. And it might be nice to be able to post some of this stuff without it being taken down, which happens all the time. I've learned that anything with a Muse song in it, it's not, you're not getting it on YouTube. I'm not super excited about it in the sense that I don't get it. I mean, I know my friend, his son, was obsessed with just watching videos of, like, for example, people mm-hmm. playing video games. And he would sit there for hours just watching. There was one kid who he watched specifically. I don't remember his name. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine the appeal to just sitting there watching somebody, for example, playing video games and much less profiting off of it as well at the same time.
Yeah. And my kid is the same exact way. My son will sit there on his tablet and watch Minecraft videos until his eyes are bleeding. And in reality, the fact that he wants to make these videos is really the only reason we have a PlayStation 4 now, quite frankly. And the thing is, I think it's awesome that people find their thing and do their thing, and I kind of look at it like I don't need to understand it to appreciate the fact that people like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm an American, and I like hockey.
You're breaking all the rules.
I get that. Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I mean, you've got big businesses, not big businesses necessarily, but businesses that are known for putting out videos that feature really front and center. Guys like Rooster Teeth, Machinima, and these guys are putting out videos all the time of, like Red versus Blue. These guys do these series, and no doubt they make money from it, if not from that directly, from things like donations and sponsorships of their companies, simply because they do it and it's popular and they want to get advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's smart of Microsoft to say, hey, we got no problem with it. So just please stand by these rules, these laws. I don't know if laws. Technically, it's a law because you have to agree to the terms of the contract in order to do it. So then it basically becomes an individual contract, a law. But one of the things, just go over some of the rules that they do have, which you can find at Xbox.com under developers' rules. Microsoft does reserve the right to determine what is considered to be objectionable behavior. So they can request or force you to take anything down if they deem it objectionable. Under the full list of rules, I wrote down seven of the key things that I thought were kind of key here, and I'll get your thoughts on those as well. They want to encourage creativity, which was the very first thing that they said. And that's why they came out with this rules, to encourage the creativity, but put certain limitations on what you could do just to protect their interests. I mean, because third parties, they might get ticked off about it. Basically, they said no reverse engineering of content, so you're not allowed to steal ideas from other people. figure out how they do things. Nothing deemed obscene, which are things like vulgarity and pornography, things like that. No directly selling whatever it is that you create, which is kind of a key thing. So like a company like Machinima, with their Red vs. Blue series or whatever, I think it's Rooster Teeth, actually. Machinima does all kinds of fun stuff, but I think it's Rooster Teeth that has Red vs. Blue. They couldn't go there, create this thing now, and then sell it to, like, NBC Studios, essentially is what that is. If you share it in an app, like a mobile app, the app has to be free, and you cannot make money from any ads in that app, which is kind of an odd one. What do you make of that one? I mean, mobile apps are huge, and in a lot of cases, they just have ads that are basically embedded in that. It almost kind of takes the point away from having a free app.
Not sure why else it would exist other than that one purpose.
That one just baffles me. That's the one that, in the rules, that just completely confuses me. I'm sure there's a reason that they consider a completely viable reason, but I just don't get it. You may ask for donations, much like open source program developers do, which if you go to like paint.net, which is what I use for my photoshopping, quote unquote, they have basically to where developers can go in and say, hey, check out this effect that I just made for that, and because it's open source, you can actually plug it right into the program, and you've got a new thing that was created by a user. Android devices actually utilize that same type of open source format, I guess.
I guess with fonts as well, it would be similar too, right?
Yeah.
Like datfont.com and stuff like that, where you can download it for these programs like Photoshop or Paint mm-hmm. or whatever one you might use. And then you can make a donation on the site as to, you know.
Exactly.
To do it, so.
Exactly. And it's kind of like they're not charging for the product, but they're like, hey, if you like it, then kick a little love our way. Kind of like what we did at Tuneshow.com, where you can find a donate button, a PayPal donate button, actually in the upper left-hand corner.
I will give it all my money.
That was a good segue.
I don't have much money, but it's all yours.
Yeah. We made exactly $0, but that's okay. We do
it's Canadian,
like I said,
so.
For the love of it. Yeah. Now I need video games, so people need to start donating so I can buy more video games. Resident Evil HD Remix is coming out this year. Also, if you use a copyrighted soundtrack, it's up to the user to ensure that they have third-party permission. Microsoft said that they'll make an effort to post restrictions from third parties as they can on their website, but it really is up to whoever it is that develops these videos or whatever it is that they develop to ensure that they have permission to do that. So what are your general thoughts on this? Is this a good thing? Is this kind of Microsoft maybe giving in to the fact that, well, pretty much everybody has the ability to pirate anything they want at any given time, so we might as well look good doing it?
I think they're just trying to make it look like they're supporting it and they're, you know, they're a part of this, like how people are sharing stuff, when in reality everything's being pretty restricted. And I mean, I would imagine, like, the last one that you mentioned, the one about the music restrictions, how certain companies, there's got to be a way that they can, I mean, YouTube, like I said earlier, you can't, certain bands where if the video that gets uploaded has a song from somebody who's made it, you know, so that you can't use something in a video, it won't even let you upload it. So that would be something you think that if they're actually trying to make an effort to prevent people from doing, that they could easily do. I like that they're trying to be open-minded and go with the times, but there's a lot of rules here. And
yeah. Yeah, there are.
It kind of takes away from the open-mindedness. Like, you can do this. You know, you can come to my store and you can have bread, but you can't take white bread, and you can't take bread with crust, and you can't share the bread. And if you do share with the bread, it has to be with somebody that's on a list of people that bread can be shared with. Do I really get this bread, or what's happening? I don't know. I think that this could be a step, because maybe with time that they'll get a little bit more laid back with some of these rules, but I'm not impressed by it. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's Soviet Russia with the illusion of freedom. All right, well, moving on to the next story. A super rare Nintendo Entertainment System game auction is bringing in big dollars. I found this on Geek.com and became kind of obsessed with the whole idea of this because I love retro games. I really do. However, on eBay right now, if you go and look for it, which I actually put the link to it over at TuneShow.com, right now, Bandai's Family Fitness Stadium Events is actually up for auction on eBay. It's considered the rarest officially released Nintendo game ever for the NES. Only two of these are believed to exist in their unopened condition. So it's actually considered near mint plus, which is kind of funny. It's actually, just reading directly from the Geek.com article, there are a handful of game cartridges for the Nintendo Entertainment System that are much sought after. Often these are limited run units produced for tournaments with special prizes which were never officially sold. But if you want to stick to true Nintendo canon, the rarest official game is Bandai's Family Fitness Stadium Events. A copy of this title, still in its original packaging, is on sale through eBay, and the building is already over $90,000. And at this very second, the bidding is at $99,800.
Wow.
This game is kind of important when you consider the history of Nintendo. They only made 2,000 copies of it to begin with, and only 200 of them actually made it to stores. But what makes this so important is that it had the very first version of the Nintendo Power Pad, which could have been one of the most fun peripheral devices that have ever been made. You had to use it in California games? And, any of the early Olympic games on the Nintendo, you had it? Summer Games, I think it was called? But the Nintendo Power Pad, that's kind of the precursor to even things like Dance Dance Revolution, the arcade versions, because they still use a form of the Nintendo Power Pad in the arcade versions of those. Is this just kind of crazy? Clearly this is just for the most avid of collectors, yeah. Right?
I couldn't imagine, even if I had, a ridiculous amount of money, I don't know. I don't even remember this game, so it's not even like we're talking about, a rare version of, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out before it switched over to Punch-Out, unopened, signed by Mike Tyson, I would consider, maybe. I like my Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Because it's an awesome game.
It's arguably the greatest game ever. And the Punch Club, which was not very good, but the idea was pretty cool at the time. I couldn't imagine spending $90,000 on something that I would never open, never play. I couldn't imagine much bragging rights come along with playing a game that majority of people haven't even heard of. Personally.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the big things for me, because like you said, it's not like a numbered first edition copy of Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. That everybody knows. It's not the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out autographed and all that other fun stuff. Even autographed by Glass Joe.
Oh, especially by Glass Joe.
But, clearly, obviously, nobody just has 100G just laying around. So clearly this is for a collector. It belongs in a museum is where it belongs. It's encased in acrylic. They said in the article that even if you wanted to play the game, which would, one, make you officially insane, it's still in the clear acrylic case, but even if it was removed from all the packaging, you'd probably have to crack open the cartridge and replace the battery that's inside because, it's created in 1980-something?
Early 80s, for
1987.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, you're talking... But 30 or 28 years old. Mm. it wouldn't even be functional if you wanted it to be.
And it's not even a game people talk about or like a class, like you said, a classic Mario game or anything like that. I don't know. It's amazing to me that, like, Nintendo's going through all these, like, issues where they're concerned about Wii sales and people buying the Wii U and, you know, having third-party games that people have interest in outside just, you know, selling Mario games, which is the only reason I own a Wii U. Meanwhile, there's available Mario or Nintendo games going for $90,000. It's just funny that, like, something... its history is worth something, but as far as Nintendo right now, nobody's that impressed, really, since I'm the only person you know that owns a Wii U, and I think only 10 have been sold here in Canada, so...
Mm-hmm.
It just seems weird to me.
Yeah, it's really weird, and the thing is, like, I wouldn't have 99G to spend on, or 100 to spend on that. Put in the related...
I wouldn't buy a car for that. Something, yeah. I could, like, use to get around.
I would.
I would. I mean,
because I'm an American, and that's what we do.
And bless you guys for that. That's America.
Yeah, but I would spend a pretty decent penny on one of the related articles, because they talk about whenever Michael Bay released Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which, as terrible as that was, they actually came out with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles NES, which was a custom-themed original NES. Decorated in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game kind of theme. And I would totally be all over that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
$100,000 is yours. Just give it to me.
Just drop it on that. Plus, under the caveat that Michael Bay would never touch another product.
You know what? I didn't hate the new one, but that's just a... I mean, I expected to hate it, though, so maybe I wasn't... It wasn't as awful as I expected it to be, that movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't good, but I was just expecting, like, an hour and a half of, like, Foot Clan exploding.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually watched the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie the other night with the kids, and my daughter was actually more excited about watching it than my son.
Really? Well, I mean, it's a great movie, so, I mean, regardless, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Just don't... Either way, have you shown them number 3? Have
What's
you
that?
Shown them number 3?
Yeah, I have all 4 of the... I have the 3, mm-hmm. and then the TMNT, the CGI one. I have them all in, like, a 4-pack. So, of course, I have that. TMNT is awesome.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite things of all time. But let's move on to the third story of the day, because this one has a little something to do with the conversation that we were having before I even found the story. Rock Band! And we were actually talking about Guitar Hero.
Same thing.
But Rock Band is very similar. And they're going to have some downloadable content coming down the pike after 21 months of nothing from Rock Band. They're going to be releasing 3 new songs at $2 a piece. Now, I know that you're kind of an aficionado of Guitar Hero. Did you play Rock Band at all?
I did a little bit, just at first, just because they had the multiple instruments before Guitar Hero did. And mm-hmm. I had some friends that, before they even played Guitar Hero, they ended up getting into that. So I just depended on what friends I hung out with, I'd play Rock Band or Guitar Hero. I always said that I preferred Guitar Hero, but, I mean, there wasn't that much of a difference between the two.
Yeah, it's been a while since they've had anything, and I have Rock Band. I don't have Rock Band. I have Lego Rock Band.
Oh.
My mother went out and found the Rock Band, or not the Rock Band one, but just the general drum kit. And she's like, here, you have an Xbox. And so I was like, well, thanks. Now I got to go find a game for it. So I have the drum kit, and obviously I have my microphone that I have here for the... for my podcasting, that I actually have a USB cord for, so I was able to use it. And the kids just have little concerts in the basement. It's kind of funny. My son loves singing, and my daughter just wails away on the drum kit, which is kind of funny. I think she just likes hitting stuff.
Yeah, no, understandably. But, they're great. I mean, it's awesome for that. I mean, they're fun games. I remember, like, even, I mean, in my 30s, like, getting together with friends, and we would still play it. And they're fun games. They're interactive, and... They help kids. They get them into music and open, even me, like I found a whole pile of artists that, like, even playing the older Guitar Hero ones that I wouldn't have necessarily heard, and then introduce new music to me, and I personally think they're great.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it is fun. It's an interactive thing. You can kind of laugh at each other while you do it, because they're fun in that they're so frustrating, because it seems like it should be so simple.
So simple. It's not. Yeah. It's not at all.
Yeah. It ends up getting really complicated, especially as you level up. Mm-hmm. But let's go over the songs here, because I know that you're pretty big into music. You have a pretty diverse taste in music at that. Obviously, rock bands. These are actually focused a little more on kind of modern-day rock bands. Let's go over these songs. I'll get your thoughts on each of those. You got Avenged Sevenfold's Shepherd of Fire. Familiar?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I got a lot of friends that are really into Avenged Sevenfold. I've never mm-hmm. really got into them myself, but I appreciate why people like their music. They're talented enough, I guess. Just maybe I'm too old, and like that genre of music, I'm kind of set in my ways where everything that I already listen to is the only music that's good, and anybody that's like created a similar music of that genre is a complete rip-off artist and stole everything. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I think that they'd be fun. They'd be complex songs to play, and that's, you know, that's fun.
Yeah. You Avenged Sevenfold is, you have to be in the right mood to listen to them, and typically that mood is, kind of angry.
Yeah.
But the second one is Arctic Monkey and Are You Mine? Now, I'm not familiar with Arctic Monkey at all.
They are fantastic. I'm a fan. I like them a lot. They kind of remind me of, they have a similar sound to a band that I'm trying to delay time as I try to remember the name. The Black Keys. Very similar. They got like a little bit of a bluesy sound to it. A lot of like riffing, I guess, if that's a word that people use in America. They're good. It's good music. It's pretty laid back. It's a very, very different from Avenged Sevenfold, so it's definitely mm-hmm. adding a little bit of diversity to the available tracks. But it's a good song. I don't mind it. It gets a lot of radio play up here. Yeah. So I'm a little bit sick of that song. But uh-huh. I generally like the Arctic Monkeys.
Excellent. Excellent. See, I just never heard them, and I'll have to check them out.
You might recognize it if you hear it. Again, I don't know what songs are, you know, get radio play, so I assume it's very different. We're probably like 10 years behind music-wise up here, so with the exception of Arctic Monkeys, obviously.
Well, the third one, when I read it, I was like, uh-oh, Ryan's going to have an embolism.
Yeah.
Because it's the Foo Fighters and Something from Nothing.
Yeah.
We were literally just talking about this whenever I came across the article. You're not a big Dave Grohl fan.
No, I mean, I don't want to say that I hate him, because hate's a strong word, but I'm not, I don't see the he gets a lot of praise. People look at him as being like a current like rock and roll messiah, and I just don't see it. They got a couple songs that are all right, but I'm not a fan. And I know a lot of people on Twitter that think that they're the greatest thing in the universe, and I'm sure I'm going to hear about this now.
Probably not. Nobody's listening.
My fingers are crossed, because and this song, like I've heard this song. This is one that's on the radio now as well up here. I don't know when it was released. I'm assuming it's a newer one though. It doesn't do anything for me. It just sounds like almost every other Foo Fighters song to me. And if you like you like it, that's great. But if you're not a fan, it gets repetitive.
So if they come out on Guitar Hero, how many of the three do you buy?
I would definitely get the Arctic Monkey one. I think Avenged Sevenfold, just so I could get a second song. And no, the Foo Fighter one wouldn't happen.
Extremely rebounded.
I wouldn't even find a way of downloading it, and I wouldn't steal it.
Excellent. Well, I knew that I should bring that one up, because literally, we were just talking about that right before I found that article. So it had nothing to do with actually anything else. We were just talking about Guitar Hero for some reason. Can't remember why.
I just got mad.
But
something probably came up, and then I just got on one of my Dave Grohl rants, which I managed to limit a lot better than I thought I would.
I think it's awesome. And that was the news for the day. When we come back, Ryan and I are going to discuss the topic of the day, as well as talk about things like last week's question of the week and this week's question of the week. I'm right back after this. Here on Toons Game Time.
You guys got it made, Randy. You have no idea how it was back in the Genesis days. We couldn't think, couldn't adjust. Look what you got. My receivers couldn't do that, and our defense sucked. You'll never get beat by the same whack play over and over. You better appreciate what you got, Junior. Hey, let me go.
I think Ojimbo got hold of a bad taco.
Hey, I'm a legend.
NFL 2K on Sega Dreamcast.
All right, we're back here on Tune the Game Time with my guest, Ryan Noble of Construction on Check, SpencerNation.com, a very, very cool blog, Chris Letang, parody account on Twitter.
That's out there. Everyone knew. Don't forget Dana.
Fangirl Explosion has been imported to Tune Game Time.
Finally.
One of the things I wanted to do here, Ryan, it's a new year. We got a lot of video games that are going to be coming out in the year 2015. 2014 was kind of exciting in the fact that we're kind of in a transition period between generations of video game systems. With the 360 and the PS3 and the Wii U converting to the PS4 and the Xbox One and the Wii U. not really any growth there. However, they beat everybody to punch, so there is that. Wii U came out before the other ones did. So they did have that going for them. But there's an entire list of the projected games that will be coming out in 2015 at toonshow.com. It's a long list. You got a lot of the staples. Obviously, there's going to be a Call of Duty, because we can't go a fucking year without a Call of Duty.
The world wouldn't exist if there wasn't a new Call of Duty game. It would just, eat itself.
The new ADBC line is going to be the year that Call of Duty came out. So there's going to be before Call of Duty and after Call of Duty. It's going to be the way they measure video game years.
I hate it.
Unfortunately. And the thing is, I've been playing Borderlands lately, which is also a first-person shooter. And I've been so against first-person shooters, and it's all because of Call of Duty. I just don't like Call of Duty as much as everybody else likes it.
I will add to that. I'm the same way. I don't like any of the Call of Duty games. I'm not into first-person shooter games generally. I really like the Borderlands games, though. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just the craziness of the characters in it or what, but I found those games to be pretty fun.
And they are, and I mean, I just want entertainment. I don't just want to run around shooting people. And to me, that's not entertaining. I need something behind it. And I think that's why Call of Duty doesn't necessarily speak out to me. I'd rather play Tom Clancy games when it comes to first-person shooters because, I don't know, just the squad-based movements and the things like that that they've had in some of their games that they put out, I just love that. But either way, I figured what we'd do, all the video games that are coming out, they're at toonshow.com. Feel free to peruse that list, because I don't want to cover them all. Because when it comes to the video game consoles, I think one of the biggest selling points that the game companies, Microsoft, Sony, and Wii U, are really pushing is the exclusivity. That's what they're trying to sell their systems with. We have this. The other systems don't have that. And I think that's kind of a key thing, something that needs to be focused on, I would say. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to take a look at some of the games that are going to be exclusive to the various systems. And we're going to start out, I believe, with the PlayStation 4. Not for any particular reason besides the fact that that's just the way that I searched them. I actually did Wii U first, but we're going to skip that for now. Now, for the PlayStation 4, we got a big list, and of course my computer's freezing up. So I can't scroll down.
It's a big list.
I know. It's a long list. And that's the thing, like, for exclusive content this year, it's kind of a, it's a big thing, and this is really fucking irritating me. Why is it doing this?
You told it. It was irritating you.
Yeah.
This is on you, Brian.
Damn it, Bobby!
I have the list, and I have a working computer in front of me.
There you go. Can you go down through the
PS4? We got The Order 1886 first on the list.
Which is going to be a huge
one. I don't even know what
that
is.
The first two are actually going to be huge.
Bloodborne was the second one. You know what? I don't even know if I can say that word. Bastion?
Bastion. Yes.
Most of these are not words that we use up here in Canada.
I know, unpronounceable names.
Dysgaea? Dysgaea? D-I-S-G-A-E-A. This is the fifth one, so apparently I've missed out on all of the previous ones, because I've never...
My instinct is to follow my Final Fantasy knowledge and say it's Dysgaea.
You know what? That's actually it, probably. It's definitely Dysgaea. I just can't read. We don't learn words like that in Canada.
Yeah, and we don't use words like that here, which kind of, I think these are just showing their Japanese influence, because there are a lot of strange names of games.
Really,
out.
And I was noticing, actually, when you showed me the list, that all these are. We got Distance, yes, one I can say. Drawn to Death. Everything's Gone to the Rapture. That one actually sounds kind of fun. That Princess Adventures, which excited me, because for some reason when I first read it, when you sent me it, I saw Fresh Prince Adventures. And I thought it was a little bit late. I'm like, the Fresh Prince really hasn't been a thing in a long time, but I would definitely buy a game. And then we get into the Final Fantasy VII, which that sounds awesome.
I got so excited because I'm actually playing that on the PlayStation 1 right now.
On the PS1? Jeez.
Yeah, I still have PS1. I have PS1, I have a Genesis, I have the 360, I have the Xbox, and I have the Wii.
Super Nintendo.
Yeah. See, that's it. Like, I've got it in my sights. My wife told me the other day that I have too many game
possible.
Systems, though. No, it is not possible. But she
when you start buying $90,000 games, then come back to us then.
I figure my only option is to put $5 aside a week and then covertly buy them. But now that I'm back up, we also have Final Fantasy X, X-2 HD Remaster, because the PS4 is all about the remasters, which is basically what Final Fantasy VII is going to be as well. They got The Forest, Hellblade, Killstrain, which is an awesome band name, Let It Die, MLB The Show 16. I'm kind of surprised that this is exclusive, and I'm wondering if it's maybe not a timed exclusive, which, for whatever reason, the company started doing that, but that's 2K sports version. No Man's Sky, which is a huge game. This game has a ton of potential. Basically, it's an infinite universe of space travel. The planets that the game is able to produce is numbering in the quintillion or something like that. Just going to be a huge game. I predict lots of bugs with that game. Omega Quintet, which also sounds like a really kind of funny barbershop group. Once Upon Light, Orcs Must Die Unchained, which is kind of a fun name, too. Yeah. Paparazzi, which...
What?
Like, why? Yeah, a game called Paparazzi.
Pictures of stuff?
I hope.
It's like a stalker game. It just teaches you how to, like, tailgate people and take pictures of them.
The entire time you do nothing but stalk other players.
I want to play it now, but it sounds terrible.
A massive multiplayer online game where you literally go to people's houses and take pictures from the bushes.
That's all.
We got some downloadable content, which I don't really count as a game, but Resogun Defenders. Rhyme, Shovel Knight, which I'm super excited about. It looks great. It looks like a, it looks like what you would find on Nintendo.
I support
the NES. I am all for this game. Yeah. Like, everything about it, I'm like, well done. It was actually a Kickstarter, I believe. This finally coming to fruition. Well done. I'm so pumped about this game. They got Skytorn, Street Fighter 4 Ultra, Ultra Omega Alpha Turbo Super Edition.
Street Fighter, I'll buy it.
Tearaway Unfolded. The Tomorrow Children, Tropico 5, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, Until Dawn, Viking Squad, which is also supposed to be very good, and then a game called Wadum. Anything in that group actually interest you at all?
I mean, Street Fighter. I would be interested in maybe trying the Final Fantasies, but I loved the Final Fantasy games growing up. A lot of these were actually, seeing them on your list was the first I'd even heard of them. I mean, there's some of these games here that are like in the fourth and the fifth that I didn't even know existed leading up to this.
And there are a lot of new ones coming out.
I'm interested in the Paparazzi game for some terrifying reason now. I'm not sure what that says about me, but... other than that, I mean, Orcs Must Die Unchained. I know nothing about that game other than the name is incredible, and there's no way it's not good. And maybe Bloodborne.
Sony has a strong list, I think. If you look through there, there's a lot
not
of...
Not the baseball one. The baseball one, but I don't like baseball.
Yeah, the baseball one seems to be a disconnect from all the other ones. It doesn't make sense why it's there. I question the validity of whether or not it's an exclusive or what kind of exclusive it is. But the Order 1886, which is set to come out next month, I believe, is going to be huge. It's going to be like a top seller, possible game of the year. Just looks
amazing.
Sure
the Uncharted will be popular, too. People really... Everyone I know is obsessed with those games. I think... I only played the first one, and it was good. It just reminded me of, like, a more modern anyways at the time, like a Tomb Raider kind of thing, but with a dude. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I'd rather watch Lara Croft than whoever the guy was in that.
definitely. I actually already pointed out two remakes, which was Final Fantasy VII to my wife. And the other one was Resident Evil, which is coming out, which I'm hugely pumped about. The original Resident Evil redone in a high-definition format.
I think
format.
I only played the first two Resident Evil games.
They were so great.
Yeah, they were really, really good. I don't know why I didn't play any beyond that, but for whatever reason, I just...
All right, and let's move on to the Xbox One, because we are running a little lower on time for what we actually have. Xbox One's exclusives, a much shorter list. Hashtag iDarb. iDarb.
I don't know what that is.
I haven't even looked it up, because it's one of those things where that's just such a bizarre name. I'm not interested, because you're trying
to
argue
the name. You did it to yourself,
name.
Xbox. You did it to yourself. You had your chance.
Yeah. Fable Legends, which Fable 3 was the last Fable game I played in kind of... I said, you know what, I've had enough of Fable. Fortified, Halo 5 Guardians, which I'm still kind of salty about. I wish it was on PlayStation, but obviously it's not. Can't be. That's a Microsoft franchise. Quantum Break, Scalebound, Smite, Space Engineers, State of Decay, Year 1 Survival Edition, and Superhot. Now, a much less impressive list of exclusive titles.
I'm not impressed. Nothing really stands out to me here. I've never really been an Xbox guy, though. I've always had PlayStation ever since PS1. I'm biased. I'm incredibly biased, and I will say nothing but terrible things about Xbox. I actually decided that the whole reason I am a PlayStation guy, if I could get words out, is because when PS1 came. Controller better, and ever since then, I continue to buy the same system because I'm happier with the way the control fits in my hand.
See, I'm kind of the opposite. I love the Xbox controller. And I'm sure it's because I had the Xbox and then I had the 360.
I thought I knew who you were.
And my hand... The positioning of the analog controller on the left side, I just like it so much more on the upper side. If they could find a way to make a Transformer type of controller, which I know there's a Transformer controller from Mad Catz, I believe, coming out, but it's more the size and shape of the controller itself. I just want to be able to switch the analog.
That's how it is on the big weird control on the Wii U. The analog switch is like up higher and to the left instead of like where the actual directional pad is, which I don't like.
Well, let's move on to the Wii U, which is one of the main reasons why I brought you specifically on today, because you do have a Wii U. And you're thoroughly enjoying Smash Brothers, which
so
makes me jealous.
So good.
Now, there's a reason why I wanted this last, and first we'll go over the exclusives, and then we'll talk about it. Now, the Wii U exclusives are Chariot, which just came out last week, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, The Devil's Third, The Legend
which is going to be the best game ever made. Continue.
My god, that game
looks incredible.
Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which could be fun. Mario Maker, Mario Party 10, Project Cars, Splatoon, Star Fox.
Oh god.
That could either be a complete flop or the greatest
It'll
game
be
in
the
existence.
Greatest.
Underground and Yoshi's Woolly World. Now, I know you wanted to talk about a lot of these, and I just kind of wanted to burn through them before we talked about them. Which of these games, I mean, obviously,
The Legend of Zelda. I got that last one that they just came out with, the Hyrule Warriors, which I was very excited about. And I love it. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I like the gameplay. Story-wise, it's a little slow. There's not really much going on. It's just kind of like, I never played any of the Hyrule games, like that style. The only Zelda games I really played was, like, Zelda for Nintendo, Link for Nintendo, and then I think I stopped at the Link to the Past for Super Nintendo, which was my personal favorite. Mm-hmm. I love that game. Anyways, Hyrule's great, but I've seen, like, just some of the videos that they've posted for this new Zelda game, and it looks absolutely incredible. Like, all I can think about is this video game coming out, so I can just waste all of my time playing it.
And I think one of the main questions that I wanted to ask you, how this year's releases, coupled with last year's releases, because Smash Brothers is a huge deal. It's getting Game of the Year considerations because people thought that, you know, it's just another Smash Brothers game, and then when it came out, everybody was like, no, this is better. How will these releases actually affect the Wii U and the future of Nintendo? Because with all the third-party kind of absence mm-hmm. from the Wii U, it's really hurt their system. Do you think these releases are actually going to be something to motivate? I mean, I know that I would seriously consider, if it wasn't completely unrealistic because I'm married, buying a Wii U simply for mm-hmm. The Legend of Zelda.
It would be worth it.
Do you think it's going to affect the sales of the Wii U? Maybe
I think
save
that
it?
Depending on how many like married men are willing to defy their wives and purchase the system, because personally for me, it's all these new versions of older games that really got me into the idea of getting a Wii U, like the Mario games. I like the Mario 3D even was incredibly fun. Even the Luigi World game. I personally got it just for the nostalgia of like the newer versions of the older games. That being said, funny story, Mario Party 10, for whatever reason, our local mall had a sign up saying that Mario Party 10 was going to be released, on the last day of last year. And I saw this sign, like, probably 4 months. So, 4 months of anticipation for this new Mario Party game to come out. Finally, the big mm-hmm. day comes, and my plan was on New Year's Eve. You know, some people go out, some people drink. I'm excited about getting the new Mario Party game. go, stand in line, wait for the place to open. They're like, the game's not even out yet. No, nope, they didn't even know when it was coming out. Mario's, I don't know why, for whatever reason, I was so sure that this game was out. I've been a little bit empty since. Star Fox, I'm very excited about, again, because of the Super Nintendo one, which I loved as a kid. I'm sure the Kirby game is probably a lot of fun, too. I haven't looked into this Mario and Donkey Kong game, but I like Mario and Donkey Kong, so I can't think of a reason that it would not be fantastic.
I think it depends on the direction that they decide to take.
There's a new, it's out already, but there's a Donkey Kong, I haven't gotten it yet because I do have a bit of a budget. I can't, unfortunately, spend all of my money on games. I wish I could, but I can't. But the Donkey Kong game, like, it looks just like the same as the ones for the, Super Nintendo. And that's, that's what I want. I just want it to be a little bit prettier looking than the older games. Basically the same concept. I don't need Nintendo to, like, wow me with anything new or anything fancy. I just want them to, like, give me entertaining games that is something that I don't have to put too much thought into, that I can, like, just sit down 4 hours and, like, that will require no, like, thought on my part. I just play them. And, maybe that's why, like, even with being a PlayStation owner, a lot of the times I'm just playing, like, hockey video games, and it's just the same thing. I'm not a thinker. I'm sure interacting with me as much as you do, you might know this already.
Yeah.
I want to look into this Mario Maker, though. That sounds like it's fun.
The thing that I worry about Nintendo with, and with the Wii U and everything else that the company basically does, is they're so focused on nostalgia and yesteryear, that whenever they do try to go into the future, like they did with the Wii U, I mean, it's an innovated controller system. I mean, you can't deny that. But it's like they go in the wrong direction. They just... It's not what people necessarily want. I honestly wish that they would, like, couple with an Android. I think I said this last week. That they would couple with, like, an Android or something like that. And make it to where you use your phone or your tablet to actually control it. Instead of having, like, this thing that you basically... You have the controller that's... for it, but why not make your games, like, transportable to where you're able to, like, have that Nintendo app that you've uploaded into your phone because you have it on the Wii U. And like, when Fable 3 came out, they came out with, like, a month ahead of time before the release date of Fable 3. I think it was Fable 3. They had to where you could go on and play Fable games, which is where you could, like, build up your money leading up to the release of the game by playing, like, barroom games.
That's a really cool,
like,
idea.
Card games and things like that. It's like, that's what Nintendo needs to do to really add some legitimacy, is tap into that mobile world, that mobile universe. I mean, you obviously, if you're going to extend the life of the Wii U, which I don't see them doing anything this year to come out with anything new, find a way to integrate that. Introduce the mobile world into your device. Mm-hmm. Into your console. Because the thing is, like, as much as I worry about them for the nostalgia thing, overusing nostalgia, it works. I'm always excited. Like, you see Mario works, because they stuck true to what Mario is. Sonic cannot say the same thing. Sega messed him up by trying to make him too much. And Mario's just handled it so well.
And, I mean, even with Mario, I mean, they had their, like, there are bumps with some of the games. Like, there was, like, that Mario Paper. What was that game? Wasn't Mario Paint? Because that game was awesome. There was the one, he was it was like an attempt at being 3D, I think, and I don't even remember what the name of it was. But when they realized it was awful, they just went back to the exact same, you know, thing that made Mario Mario. And it's great. But so.
And parents trust them.
Well, especially, like, you look at some of the, like, the PS4 titles and the Xbox ones. I mean, even some of the names are not, like, appropriate for every Killstrain, Hellblade, the majority of the Bloodborne, you know. At least the Wii is something that, you know, like, you have kids, it's something that you can buy, and your kids, you know. And that nostalgia, like we said, I played a similar game as this when I was a kid, so in theory, you should like it as well.
And sometimes you just want to have simple fun, and I think that's where they're at. One last thing before we wrap up the show here, because my daughter's going to be calling, frankly. I have to get picked up from school. Walk home,
I think that's exactly what I said. That's why I'm not a parent.
The last thing that I did, I wanted to touch on it, because Amiibos are coming out.
I already have two.
Now, I don't know a lot about what they're going to do, because I don't have a Wii U, but I think it's kind of interesting that they're coming out with these figures. But is it too little too late? I mean, you got Skylanders, which has been out forever. To a lesser degree, you have Disney's Infinity, which is actually doing very well. Is there a place for the Amiibos for that type of system, or do you think it's just going to be one of those things where, where have I seen this before?
I wouldn't expect it to necessarily save Nintendo in the future as far as just... It's fun. I think it's a lot more kid-oriented. I mean, it's still new, so, like, I mean, right now, I've got two of them. I got, like, the Mario and the Link one. And so, for example, like with Mario Kart 8, which is the best Mario Kart ever, just like for that, the only thing that it offers is you tap it and you get like, so if you use like Yoshi, let's say, if you use your Mii character, you have the option of using a Yoshi costume. So as far as that goes, not very exciting. That it doesn't really do much for the gameplay. For Hyrule Warriors, if you tap it, you get like a special weapon. So like, a special sword or whatever. What other games do I have that's compatible with? I have one more. Of course, Smash Brothers. And Smash Brothers is actually fantastic because you program your guy in and then he starts off basically as like a level one. So you can use him to, so if you're like in a match, let's say, and you're getting beat up, you can like take your Mario one and you tap it on and then he'll come in and he'll help you. So you can have Mario help you and the more, that is like come out with a steel chair and, you know, take out Donkey Kong. The more that you do it and the more that you use it, cause you can use it like as a partner, you can fight against him. He gets better. And he gets stronger, so he actually levels. So, like, for games like that, which I think was kind of the first game that they really pushed with it, so, like, the older games, like the Mario Kart, you know, they just wanted something that, you know, it was just a simple add-on. But I think that if they use it for more, like, Smash Brothers, I think it's something that could really improve gameplay for a lot of games. Enough to maybe make people more excited about Wii U? I mean, I guess we'll have to see if that's the case, but... I like it for Smash Brothers, and I like my Super Mario costume in Mario Kart.
I really think that 2015 is a turning point. It's the fork in the road for Nintendo and the Wii U specifically.
It's the first one I committed to of the new system, so.
Yeah, well, they can either blow it, which I hope in a way they don't do because, you know, I don't have any attachment to the Wii U because I don't own one. But just looking at the titles, there's so many titles to be excited about. They just have to get that third-party support, which they do not have. But either way, let's close out the show here by looking at the question of the week. Last week's question of the week is, what game are you looking forward to the most in 2015? Hagler's Papa was actually the only person who responded to that. And I understand, because it's a young show, but you can participate. Just hit me up at Toon Show or at Toon the Brian. But Hagler's Papa on Twitter actually responded that he was most looking forward to the very first two PlayStation 4 exclusive titles that we talked about, which is The Order 1886, and then he added Bloodborne to that. Two very good-looking games. They're going to be hits all across the board. Probably be among the highest-selling exclusive titles this year, I would imagine. I'm really interested in The Order 1886. Just looks just incredible. However, for me, just my answer to that question would actually be Resident Evil, the Resident Evil remake. I was such a mark for the first Resident Evil game, and the fact that they're remaking it means that I could be the master of the lockpick once more. I'm just so excited. And there are so many things I like about that game. I'm hoping they don't mess with it too much. I want them to keep the mechanics basically the same. It's just such an amazing game. And what game, Ryan, would you say that you're looking forward
Zelda,
to the most?
Zelda. Legend of Zelda. It will be the best game that comes out next year. There'll be no better game.
Yeah, because it's supposed to come out late. 2015. The anticipation. It just looks incredible. Open world Zelda.
Yeah,
that's
this
just
is like an Oblivion version or a Skyrim version of it, which I was the master of lock picking in. But
Skyrim is one of my favorite games.
So
I love it. And if they can mix that with the Zelda lore.
Forget about it.
It's gonna be incredible.
Wii U will exist just because of that. That could keep them afloat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's seriously, I'm like, if I happen to come across randomly a whole bunch of money, I will have a Wii U the day that thing comes out.
Refer people to the Toons donation screen on the top left corner of the website.
There you go.
You can help Brian have more input on Wii U.
Well done. All right, well, let's take a look in the next week and a half, roughly, because I do 2 weeks at a time, of upcoming games. According to GameFormer.com, January 13th, which is tomorrow, or today, it came out today, Atelier Aisha Plus, The Alchemist of Dusk, came out for the Vita, Japanese RPG, which we talked about last week a little bit, and Duke Nukem 3D, also for the Vita, the Megaton Edition. Which, can you call it Megaton Edition on a handheld?
You can call it whatever
you
want.
How would you lift it?
It's not for children, I wouldn't imagine, so you'd have to be an adult to play that game, I think. I recall there.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what came out today. January 20th, which is next Tuesday, Blackguards 2 comes out on the PC. It's a turn-based RPG from Daedalic Entertainment. I'm not familiar with them, but apparently they did pretty well in the first Blackguards. Citizens of Earth, which looks really super fun. It comes out for the PS4, the Wii U, the Vita, the 3DS, and the PC. It's basically an RPG where you're the vice president of Earth, and you have to convince all the citizens of Earth to fight for
you. I am so happy this game is on Wii U.
Oh, I'm telling you, it looks great. When I first went to their website to check out, just to see what they... It reminded me so much of, like, what would happen if we went, like, and created a before Fallout game. And just so cartoony in its presentation, like, and it just reminded me of the Fallout boy guy. Just awesome.
It sounds great. I'm sold on it.
And then, my pièce de résistance, next week, Tuesday, Resident Evil Remastered. Coming out for the Xbox One, the 360, the PS4, and PS3, as well as PC. I was so lucky that of all the games on the list, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most this year, and I only
Next
have to
week.
Wait a week.
Yeah. I have to wait
that's
until
great.
I get a PS4.
Ooh. Yeah. It's actually fun. I like the PS4. I haven't played around with it enough yet because my game library isn't up there yet, but definitely. Then there's an expansion pack coming out next week for Saints Row 4. If you've not played Saints Row, that is such a fun series of games. But they're coming out with the Re-Elected and Get Out of Hell expansions for the Xbox One, 360, PS4, PS3, and the PC. But that's going to do it for this week's Toons Game Time. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. I would like to give you the opportunity to plug whatever it is that you would like to plug
Everything.
Right now.
I got nothing. We got some pretty exciting stuff coming out over at Constructs Nunchucks. If you don't follow us on the Twitter machine, it is at Constructs Nunchucks, C-O-N-S-T-R-U-X, N-U-N-C-H-U-X.
Lots of
there are so many.
News.
Every time I do a video and try to say it quickly, I probably end up editing it like 20 times because I usually spell it wrong. But other than that, I mean, Penn's Initiative, I'm sure you all know of, and I did not come prepared to plug anything, so I think I'm good on that end. I appreciate the opportunity, though.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on, because we talk all the time.
Happy to come on anytime, providing our schedule.
Yeah, and we're gonna have you and Paul both on for an episode of Tunes.
I'll
I know that.
Tell
in
him
the
to
near
be more
future.
Prepared to plug the site, because obviously I was not ready.
We just have we just have to arrange to make it happen. I've already got a ton of ideas for that show. We'll see. Obviously, the colors contest and all that fun stuff. But thank you so much. If you would like to be a guest here on the show, real easy to do. Like I told you earlier in the show, the first thing you should do is add us to your contact list on Skype by searching the Skype ID, Toon Show, TOONS, capital S, HOW, although they don't care about capitals. I just like to say that so that you know that there's two S's. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Toon Show. You can find me specifically at Toons Brian. Send us an email, MP3s, all that fun stuff, toonshow@gmail.com, and all that information can be found under the Become a Loony tab on the main menu of toonshow.com. Until next week, he's Ryan, I'm Brian, and I try to convince my mom that I should be renamed Ryan, or Brian O'Ryan O'Brien. That's actually, she could not stand that idea. I couldn't figure out why. Come on! Brian O'Ryan O'Brien, it'd be the best name ever! Anyway!
I love it.
You've been listening to Tune the Game Time here on the Trending Topics Network! Found at trendingtopicsnetwork.com. Hit the reset button. Hold the phone, just 1 second. It's me, it's Brian. Once again, apparently, while recording, I totally, completely forgot to pass along this week's question of the week. Bonehead move on my part, but that's alright, because I have a chance to rectify it. It's called post-production, people. As you now know, Ryan Noble and I talked for a little bit about both Nintendo's reliance on nostalgia, and also about some of the awesome remakes of games from the past that are coming out in 2015. So, in that spirit, what I want to know from you, the listener, is what game from the past would you actually love to see hit this next generation of consoles in the coming year or even in the future? There's a lot of awesome games out there that we loved playing when we were kids, whether it was like Star Fox that's coming out for the Wii U. Maybe you want to see Mega Man come out with a complete collection, kind of like Halo did. Maybe you want to see Bubble Bobble or Super Dodgeball or Super Spike V-Ball. All those awesome games that we remember playing when we were a kid, but you can't really find now unless you have a retro store in your area. There's a ton of them out there, and in order to tell me what you would like to see, hit me up on Twitter, which is the easiest way, at ToonsBrian, or you can go through our email, which is ToonsShow, TOONSSHOW, at gmail.com, that same address on Skype. Toon Show, or you can even hit the comment sections of our various articles on toonshow.com. At toonshow.com, you will actually find every possible way of contacting us right there, so it's real easy to remember. Toonshow.com, go there, be our friend. That's going to be it. Thank you for listening, and until next week, we'll see you later.